cover your sins, it's going to be an issue, but he that confesseth will find mercy, will find all these things. That word confesseth, look it up. The Hebrew word for confesseth that is used in that verse can also be translated grateful or praise. You say, okay, help me understand then why that proves that it's agreeing with God. Here's the deal. What is confession? Confession is agreeing with God about what I have done. Praise is agreeing with God about who he is and what he has done. It's the same principle. It's just flipping how you're looking at it. That's simply what praise is. So tonight as we talk about praise, that is the theme with which we're going to do, and we are going to apply it. I enjoy hunting, and what I have found over the few years, I've hunted since I was probably 13. I read about hunting books. So I've hunted almost 19 years now. I've read a lot about hunting. But you want to know the most where I've learned about hunting? It's sitting out in the tree stand, making the stupid mistakes that you make and scaring off the big ones that you never got a shot at and losing all the opportunities. So tonight, we're going to learn together. So don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Let's lean in and learn together tonight and participate together in praising the Lord's name. Sound good? And as we praise his name, I believe it's only going to prepare your hearts for what God wants to do in your life this week through the revival services. If you got a Bible, let's go to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, it could arguably be, I believe, one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible on the subject of praise. And I think that that might be a little personal bias because I love Psalm 34. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture in the entire Bible. But Psalm 34 answers some very simple questions. And if you're like, if you're one of those people that needs a theme in mind or a title, just think this, the framework for praise. And here's the questions, the themes that we're going to be answering from this passage. When should I praise? How should I praise? And why should I praise? If you want a more detailed version and you're like, man, that's way too simple, the situation for praise, the focus of praise, and the product of praise. Now, I believe this passage is so powerful that we're going to take the time to read through the entire thing. It's 22 verses, so it won't be long, but I would encourage you to follow along with me and your copy of God's Word. As I read, you follow along and just soak your soul, so to speak, in the goodness of God and praising his name. It starts in verse 1 and it says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience who God is, and you'll find out that he's good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. I love that verse because it answers two of the most basic questions of all humanity. For 6 years, I dealt with teenagers, and I still do to this day, about 10 years now. And you want to know the two biggest questions that every person has early on in life? They want to know, am I seen and am I heard? Do people understand me and do people see me? And I don't understand. And that roots back to the struggles that they have. And this says that we have a God who sees where we're at. He understands what we're going through and he can hear us when we cry out to him. I love that verse. Verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I like that verse too because it reminds me that in the middle of an unjust society, I have a God who is just and who sees the injustice around me. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is near or nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I love that verse because it tells me that the qualifications for experiencing the active felt presence of God is very simple. You can be broken and humble. I think I can qualify there, right? What about you? That's how you can get close to God. I don't got to somehow pray 5 times a day and dress the right way and do all these things and check off the 50 million list. I can be broken and humble, and I can experience the closeness of his presence. Go on to verse 20. He keepeth all the bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I don't know about you, but we could just close up and just go home. That was good, right? Man, it's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Now, when should I praise? The situation for praise is the first thing that we see in this passage. And you see it not even necessarily in the passage, but if you have one of those like really fancy Bibles, there's an editor's note, an inscription at the beginning given to us about when this was written. And aren't you glad that we're given details in God's word that are just kind of like little blessing nuggets, right? God divinely inspired his word through human authors and gave us some nuggets along the way that are super helpful in understanding his word. And the inscription of this psalm is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now, here's the deal. You go back through the story of David, and finding a king, Abimelech, is a struggle. I've done it. I mean, it's kind of, you're like, well, is it this guy? Is it that guy? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? But if you read this part, when he drove him away and he departed and he changed his behavior, you'll find an exact match and a replica of a story that is no doubtedly the same in 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 21, it calls the king Achish. And there's two very easy explanations, logical explanations of why this could be. Number one, in those days, kings would have titles, and it's very possible that Abimelech was a title for kings where they were kings at. Another possibility is they had multiple names, right? J. Stephen. J. is my first legal name, right? And so I could be King J. or King Stephen, right? And so what we know, though, is this is undoubtedly the same because it literally matches the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21 so clearly. I challenge you, go read 1 Samuel chapter 21 and you'll leave saying, yep, that is the story of which he was talking about. And what is so important about this is very clear. 1 Samuel chapter 21, David is on the run for his life. We don't have the time to go read the whole story, but he's on the run for his life. It's before he's king. Saul is chasing him down, trying to kill him. And what does David do? David goes to a place that is crazy to even think of that he would go. He goes to the land of the Philistines over in this area, and he goes to his enemy's nation. Okay? Think of, like, this is the way that I made myself understand this as I was thinking, like, what's the correlation for us in our modern day? Think of if the SEAL who killed bin Laden, super publicized early on, and then tries to go and join the Taliban. Like, it would make no sense, right? And David goes over to the arch enemy, of which he has a huge name and a lot of fame with them because he embarrassed them publicly. And he runs there, and what does this tell us? This tells us how afraid he was of Saul and how afraid he was for his life. He's on the run, and he leaves his home nation. He goes and lives in this country, and what happens? Word gets out because David is too much of a celebrity, good or bad. He has too big of a name. And word gets out, David's in the land, and he can start an insurrection king, and he can overthrow you and the government. You need to take care of this immediately. David hears, and what does he do? He starts to act crazy. You can go and read the story. It doesn't give us a super, like, 10-page detail, but it gives us enough detail that you can think, What do crazy people act like, or how would he do that to faith? Well, he most likely looked disheveled. He most likely would wander around. He most likely would mutter under his breath and try and be standoffish toward people. He might have even gone as far, according to this, to change his appearance and how he looked. And do you get the point? He's lonely. He's pretended to be something he's not. In a land of strangers, far away from home, in fear for his life. Now, I don't know about you, but if there was ever a time that you could get a pass on praising God, I think David could have gotten a pass. Like, God, I'm afraid that I might die in 10 minutes. If they find out that I'm not actually crazy, like they could come and they could just kill me on the spot. God, if I go back home and I leave this place, Saul could get me and I could be dead before I even step foot across the border. He's in a lose-lose situation. And in this lose-lose situation, David pens the words of verse 1, which is powerful to even think of. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the situation for praise. When? At all times. Continuously. No excuses, no passes, no stopping. That's the situation for praise. I will bless. What does that word bless mean? To give honor and glory to, right? To ascribe honor. I will bless. I will bless his name. His praise is going to continually be flowing out of my mouth. This is a question I have for myself and us together, and you can answer it in your heart, and I'll answer it in mine. The way I praise God, does it pass the situation test that's laid out for us in Psalm 34? What excuses am I giving or have I given for why I don't praise as much as I should? When do I give myself a pass on when I, hey, Stephen, you had a rough week, buddy. You ever feel sorry for yourself? Like, am I the only one? Come on, like, help me out here. You ever have just a rough week and you start feeling sorry for yourself, you know? Nothing's going right for me. The cat hates me. The dog won't speak to me. My wife is not, what's going on, right? And you just have a rough week. You ever had a rough week? And you get to the end of the week and you're just like, you know what? I can kind of ebb off with God and it'll be okay. And according to God's word, that's not the case. There is no excuses and there's no pausing. There's no situation in which I can get a pass. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The situation for praise is all the time. But we continue on and we just don't see when to praise and the situation for praise. We see how to praise. What is the focus of praise that we see in Psalm chapter 34? Number one, we see that it's centered around God's name. I just want you to read those first several verses. I will bless the
Lord.
My soul shall make her boast in the
Lord.
Oh, magnify the
Lord.
I sought the
Lord.
This poor man cried in the
Lord.
The angel of the
Lord.
I'll taste and see that the
Lord.
I'll fear the
Lord.
You get the point? Like, man, what is happening here, right? You'll see in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the name for the covenant name for God in the Old Testament, Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant name for his people in the Old Testament. David is using the name of God, and he says, my praise and my focus is on one source and one thing alone. It is God Almighty. It is the Lord. He was focused, man. It's focused on the name of God. What else do we see in this passage about the focus? It's focused on his promises. You know, David is not in the greatest of situations. And so he goes back and he looks backward in his life. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me. He goes on and he says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his trouble. He keeps on going out. He's recounting past actions of God, right? to himself. Why? Because he's like, I have to go and look backward at this moment. Have you ever been in a situation where your judgment can get so clouded from who God truly is in that moment because of the circumstances that it's hard to see out of them? What does he do to get out of the current circumstances? He says, I know of an exact time when I called on God and he heard and delivered me. And right now, I might not feel like praising, but what I do know is that happened and I experienced it just as sure as I am here today. So I'm going to praise God for his name and his promises of what he has done in my life. It sets a standard for us of how we can praise no matter the situation. Because I can find his name, and I can find his promises, and I can find his actions all throughout the pages of Scripture. And so we see that the focus of David's praise was on the name of God and his promises and the actions of God. But what do we see about this? What do we see about the product of praise? Why should I praise? Why is praise so important to me as a Christian? Stephen, why would you and your dad take two complete services and talk about one subject of praise? Well, because praise, I believe, ought to be transformative, not just transactional. You say, what do you mean by that, Stephen? What I mean by that is this. If we're not careful, we can get into this understanding of praise that praise is something I do because God said I ought to do it. And if I praise God, then he'll come and respond to me in my circumstance and change my circumstance. It's really easy to get into that method of thinking because, I mean, a lot of Christian movies, books, things, like it has like a turn, right? It's a feel-good story. It starts with a bad thing. They focused on God and still prayed and praised. Then what happened? Boom. Now, let's be careful here. Let's not take away from how God blesses those who follow after him and seek his face. That is a principle in Scripture. But there's also a principle in Scripture that I'm supposed to be praising whether I'm getting the blessings or not. Amen. So we got to be on the same page there and understand it's both are true at the same time. Now, what do we mean by it's not just transactional, it should be transformative? Praise will not always transform my situation, but it should always transform me. And as it transforms me, what I found is, if I praise God long enough and it transforms me enough, it typically gets me in a decent enough mental space or a decent enough attitude to actually address the circumstances that are in front of me. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been in such a low point where you're like, I literally have no idea what to do next. Like, I'm not sure of the next right action. And you're so focused on what is right here. Trust me, I get it. I might not know your situation, but I know my situation. I know when I've been in situations like that, and I've felt that pressure. And as I praise God, what it does is it takes my focus off of my circumstances and puts them on an unchanging source of hope and strength. And so as I praise God, it ought to be transformative, not transactional. It's not, I don't do it because I expect something from God. I do it because I expect him to work in my life as I focus on him. And I know he'll change my heart, my attitude. What is it? How does it transform me? Well, number one, it transforms my attitude. I love verse 5 where it says, they looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. It's the idea of almost like a radiant face. You ever hung out with somebody who's just happy? You ever hung out with somebody who's not? Like you ever look at somebody and you're like, I know who not to talk to in the room. I will leave them alone and I have zero desire to talk to them. I'm going to go over to that side of the room and not get anywhere near them. Think of this exact parallel that's happening in verse 5 compared to David's situation. He had changed his behavior. You could infer greatly from this story that if he's acting crazy and he's going to all these lengths to change his behavior and his appearance, he most likely looks like a mess. And he's acting like a mess. He feels like a mess, and he is a mess. Like, just think about portraying yourself as being crazy. You think that would catch up with you after a while, and you're actually wondering if you are? Right? I heard somebody say once, it's not, you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You're only crazy when you start talking back, right? And so, like, David was talking back to himself. He was having long conversations with himself, maybe even in third person. He was rolling through it. And David, this passage here, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Think of him thinking of, man, I know right now I look like a mess, and I am a mess. But I serve a God who lightens people's loads, who gives people joy, and who causes people's face to shine. Amen. And one day my face is going to shine. I'm not going to be in this moment forever. Think about how that shifts your attitude in the middle for David of that circumstance. I know this is like it is right now, but I serve a God who gives joy. And I serve a God who can give joy in the midst of harsh circumstances. Praising God transforms my attitude. What else does it do? It grounds my faith. You ever go through a situation and you're just struggling to believe what's going to happen next? I believe David names the name of God and names so many promises that he's seen God keep. Why? Because he's reminding himself that there's no need to doubt. You go over to James 1 and it literally talks about doubting, and it talks about keeping a strength and endurance under trials. Why? Because as humans, it's hard to do that. Scripture's super honest about it. It's pretty hard to hold up under trials for a lengthy period of time, is it not? The pressure of physical trials, relational trials, just the trials of life and the messiness of a broken world that we live in, my sin, other people's sin, and the consequences of it that has come into my life, it's kind of hard to hold up under those for a lengthy period of time without feeling the pressure and feeling like you're going to get crushed, is it not? And David, he names so many promises. What is he doing? He's grounding his faith in an unchanging God. Because you want to know what? It doesn't always feel right to believe, but it is right. It doesn't always feel right. Like, feel. I know guys, we struggle with feelings, right? We think. We don't feel, right? We think about a lot of things, but we don't really feel. My wife will be like, what are you feeling about this? I feel nothing. What do you think about this? Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this. It's terrible, right? And then you go into like a whole discourse. But anyway, when it comes to like feeling, it doesn't always feel like faith is the right option. But I can go above my circumstances and how I feel, and I can ground my faith in the unchanging character of God. Praise grounds my faith. And what else it does? Praise transforms me, and it leads me to a response to God himself. You say, where are you seeing that? Literally, the whole second half of the passage switches kind of how it's written. And David starts to say, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Why am I going to fear him? Because I understand who he is and the greatness of his character and his promises and how good of a God he is that I serve. I think I'm going to have some serious reverence for that God. He goes on and he says, come you children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is what it looks like. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The idea is that as I get to know God and I praise him for his character, I become consumed with his goodness, and it leads to a desire to follow him more intently. I believe as I praise God, if I am praising him truly from a humble heart, and I am seeking him, and I'm praising him and worshiping him, what does it do? It opens up my life and my eyes to how I need to follow him and his word and his will closer. Literally, as I get obsessed with his character, his character overflows and spills a little bit into my life, right? I start to understand who he is, and all of a sudden I can get obsessed with it. You ever get obsessed with something? Every year, around September, 17th, 18th, the pictures on my trail cam start to peak. It goes from a weird pattern to I start getting the same deer showing up. And I start seeing big ones that I didn't see in August and July. In October, the first weekend, I start to get really, really energetic in life, and I start getting up early in the morning. And I start going out in the dark and walking in the woods and doing all the stuff and washing my clothes and spraying down with weird stuff and doing a lot of work. Why am I doing that? Because I'm pretty set in on what I'm seeing coming through on my phone, because technology allows me to look on my phone and see what's out there now, and it's great. It changes my behavior because I get so focused on it. I believe praise does the same thing. As I get so obsessed on the God that I have chosen to believe in and place my entire life in his hands, as I get obsessed with him, it ought to change me, how I act, and what I do.
Amen.
It leads to a response. Praise is transformative, not transactional. We see this very clearly in verse 3, where it says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." A verse on praise unlike any other. It's a two-sided coin of praise. You want to know the two-sided coin? Magnify and exalt. What does that mean? Magnify. It's like if you have anybody have a smartphone and you take pictures on it? What do? When you need to zoom in, you're magnifying. You're making everything that is in the screen bigger, closer up, and you're making whatever you're trying to focus on as large as possible in the screen. That's the idea of magnify. Zooming in on God, his character, and his name. Oh, magnify the Lord together with me. I'm going to zoom in on who he is so that he is what is right there. I can't get so focused on everything else. Why? Because he's taken up the entire screen of my vision for my life. And exalt his name together. What does that mean? The idea of exalt goes a little bit different. It's a coin of praise, right? Magnify, exalt. Exalt is the idea that I'm lifting up his name. I'm not just zooming in, but I'm also lifting up. Well, what does that entail? Well, lifting up his name means that I'm praising him, I'm making him great and mighty. I'm not just zooming in, but I'm giving him worth, honor, and glory, and I'm making him great and mighty. There's also an idea in this passage, too, of as exalting and lifting up. In olden days, you had a flag that you would fly for whose king you were fighting for. And when you would go to war, you would raise this banner up above everything, and it was very visible. Why? Because when they were coming to war, you knew exactly who you were going to war with. And in our life, as we praise God, what are we doing? We are lifting his name up as a banner over our life and saying, he is the one who I'm following. He's the one. I'm in. I don't care who knows. I am in, and I am obsessed with my maker, the creator of this earth, who sent his son to die for me and who rose again on the third day. I am obsessed. So I'm going to lift his name up. It's a banner in my life. It's going to identify me very quickly to anyone who's around me. Oh, magnify and exalt his name. Praise leads to a response. With that being said, tonight I'm going to keep my promise, and I'm not going to continue preaching. We're going to apply this together. For the past 9 to 10 years, I've had an active presence with working with students in some capacity at different times. And when you work with students, there's a lot of counseling opportunities, right? When you work with people, there's a lot of counseling opportunities. Just people, we have a lot of things going on, don't we? And we need a lot of help in our lives because what? We're broken people, right? I had an old pastor who always used to tell me, never go to a church if you want it to be perfect because then it'll become imperfect when you go, right? And so we have a lot of problems. But whenever I used to do a lot of counseling, I would give people the Psalm 34 challenge. And I would always tell them, hey, this will not fix every single problem or circumstance in your life. But what this will do is it will allow you to focus your heart, mind, and soul on who God is, his character, and it will help you spiritually to navigate these times that you're in. Here's what the Psalm 34 challenge is. There is 22 verses in Psalm 34. Now, in Psalm 34, there is more than, because I know I've counted them and I've gone through very meticulously and counted them, there is at least 18 different promises or character traits of God that you can praise him specifically for from those 22 verses. At least. You probably could find more, but we're going to go with 18 because it's safe either way, whether you read it this way or that. There's 18 at least specific promises and character traits of God. And there is right around 17 or 18, I believe there's 18 different actions that as a Christian I can take. You say, Stephen, I don't really know what you're talking about. Can you explain this to me? What are you saying? Well, it's found there in the scripture where in verses like this where it says, I will, verse one, I will. That's an action that I can take as a Christian. Correct? I will bless the Lord at
all times.
So tonight, as a Christian, I can honor God's name no matter what my circumstance is. That's an action I can take. There's right around 18 of those in those 22 verses that you can find, maybe even a little bit more. What about the character trait and promise of God that I can praise him for? Well, if you go down to a verse like verse 4, I sought the Lord, action, by the way, seeking his name for something, right? And he, sounds like a promise and character trait of God, he hears, right? I can praise God for hearing me when I seek him. So I can seek him and act on it, and I can praise him for it. Oh, there's another one, right? Do you get the point? It's all over this place. Okay, so here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to take about, 22 verses. You should be able to read that in about, in under 2 minutes, right? Right? Is that a little aggressive? It might be a hair aggressive, but you should be able to read it in like 1 to 2 minutes, okay? At least skim it enough to get an idea. I want you right now to start reading those 22 verses and get all the way through the end. And in fact, I will read it, and as I read, you can read it. And then what we're going to do is we are going to find different character traits and promises of God to praise him for right now as a group. We're going to do it. It's going to be great, okay? It's going to be fantastic. You're like, I don't know about that. It's going to be great, I promise, okay? And then we're going to wrap it up with a thought about prayer and praise at the very end, okay? So here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Be thinking of actions, okay? Be thinking of character traits as we're reading, okay? You can even write them down. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth good, loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil.
Keep
Thy lips from speaking guile, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. It's very interesting at the end there that those that hate the righteous will be desolate, but if I trust in him, I won't be desolate, right? So, interesting parallel. So, what do we got? We're going to focus not on the actions because we're talking about praise. So you can do that at home. That's a great exercise. I would encourage you to do it. What can I act on from God's word? Right now, we're applying it praise only. What can I praise God for specifically? Not just anything, from these 22 verses. A character trait, a promise, something that he does. What can I praise God for from these 22 verses? Which verse and what? Ready, set, let's go. Somebody, yes.
Verse 4.
Okay.
I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So he hears us and he delivers us.
She doubled up. She got a twofer there, okay? So we got two. She exceeded the bar. Good job. Okay. What else? What else? That was one verse and that was two.
Continue with hers. What I like about it, it says he delivered me from all my fears. Not all my problems.
I love that. So it's going to talk about deliver again, but specifically in this verse, it's talking about fear. Delivers me from all my fears. He hears me. What else? Yes, sir.
Verse 5 says, they looked unto him and were like, if I look unto myself, I think I could be miserable. If I look unto others, I could be distracted. But if I stay focused on God, I'll be lightened in my face, not ashamed. Keep the focus on God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Here's one right here.
And it says here, it says about the young lions, if I can find it, there it is. Oh, shoot, man, my eyes keep jumping.
Verse 10.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they yet seek for the Lord, shall not want any, but shall want any good. Shall want any good. So shall want good even if they mess up in their flaws, because young lions, when they go to hunt on their own, when they go to seek, and when they go to fish for men, if they go to hunt for their prey, but not, you know, they sometimes mislead, or sometimes they fall into damnation, and still having that faith and that fear of not being embarrassed and being able to carry that cross and still walk with your cross and looking up, knowing that there is good things that can come out of the messing up that you can still repent for.
All right. Amen. That was good. I think we got more here too. We've only done three verses. Okay? Like, do you get the picture that we're setting up here? We still got a lot more to go. What else?
Number 6.
Okay.
The poor man cried, but he still praised God even though in his trouble.
And he heard, I love that. He heard him. So we hear, we have the hearing again. Like, that's a theme here. But then he also saved him out of his troubles. And the cool thing is, you got the whole story that you can read. David actually did end up getting saved out of this trial and trouble. Yeah, that's really good. What else?
I like number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We get to continually praise God.
There's a worthiness aspect there that's kind of powerful, of like his worth. Like, we live in a world where everything changes, like the worth of everything, right? Emily and I are house hunting right now. The house hunting market is the worst. Why? Because the valuation is always changing. Nobody has any idea what anything's worth. God's character has the same value today as it did when Psalm 34 was written. And the value is, it deserves praise at all times. That's good. Anything else? We got some time. We got a little bit of time, I think.
Numbers 7, verse 8. The angel of the Lord encamped around them that feared him and delivered them. So those that fear the Lord, his angel is going to be their protection.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God for protecting us.
Yes. Amen. Yes. There's even a loose, depending on where you read to in the Old Testament, there's a loose connection, I believe, especially in the story of Gideon and others, where the angel of the Lord, right? What does that mean? And a lot of times, a lot of theologians believe that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was a Christophany at times, right? And it was Christ seen in the Old Testament. And so even there, you can take forward the power of what we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit today is insane. The Holy Spirit of God, according to the Bible, you can go to the book of Romans. I think you can go to the book of Ephesians. There's so many places you can go. The Holy Spirit of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you.
Amen.
So you got protection around you. You got protection in you. I mean, it's like you're covered up and can't get away from it if you believe in Jesus. That's so good. What else?
Verse 15 is a promise. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He sees you all the time, and he hears you all the time. So just lift up your praise, and he will hear you, and he will see your heart and know that you're sincere.
It's hard to go through things sometimes and feel like people don't understand. It's like nobody understands what I'm going. There is somebody. There is somebody who knows you, knows your heart, and understands where you're coming from. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen.
I like 16. Face of the Lord is against them to do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You think justice may be slow, but the Lord's going to have justice in his time. It's going to be a time he's going to have. Justice on the evil, the things that you think he's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be a day of reckoning.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have to be in charge of taking justice out on everybody. Because, man, it is a full-time job for 1,000 people, and they can't even get it right, right? So, man, I'm glad I serve a perfect God and Creator who will mete out perfect justice when everybody else fails. That's good. Say again. 18. He's near. Yeah. Let's take two more.
Number 22.
Okay.
18. I like 17 too. The righteous cry of the Lord here and he delivers me from all their troubles. I mean, you know, we got so many issues. Earth issues have issues. If you give them to God and it's covered, we don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. God's got this.
Amen.
The Lord, number 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. He will lift you up. You will never be alone. You can always count on him, and you can trust in him to be there, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation. He will bring you out of it.
Amen. 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 Now, I want to connect two dots, and then I'm done, okay? I know this has kind of been a different night, and this has not been your stereotypical, probably, preaching sermon, but it is what it is, okay? Two connection points I want to make. Number one, to prayer. You can pray and not praise, but you can't really praise and not pray.
That's right.
They're kind of interconnected and interjoined together. And here's something that I always do. I do this with teenagers, right? What we just did, I do a lot of times with teenagers. And I get to the end because, you know, teens are always, like, super awkward. And, like, adults, we are too, right? We just know how to cover it up better and, like, pretend differently, right? And lie better. We're better liars. And so, but, like, I always will set the stage and I'll do what we just did. And I get to the very end. I go, hey, guys. And I literally do it like that. I'm super animated. I go, hey, guys, here's the deal, okay? By technicality of what prayer is, We just prayed together. And they always stare at me with a blank face. And I say, no, we did. I need you to define to me what is prayer. And I go, what is prayer? And so like, what is prayer? Well, it's talking to God. Okay, well, that's a part of prayer. But what is prayer? It's communication with the God of the universe. Well, how does God speak? Well, according to his word, it's his word and his spirit. So if you have the word of God, which we do, and we just read it, God was speaking to us, and we spoke back to him praise, honor, and worship. We technically just prayed together. And then I say, there's no reason to be awkward if we ever pray publicly anymore. Because you don't have to say the exact right words. You don't have to somehow check off the boxes, all these things that you got to get in. You literally just communicate to God. Amen. And you talk to him. And part of it is praise. It's communicating worth, honor, and glory to him. And you can do it together or you can do it by yourself. But it's communication with God. And it gives freedom. And I would encourage you as adults and a church family here in Buchanan, don't be afraid to pray together to God. Sometimes, man, I tell you what, my dad always says that people don't go to prayer meetings a lot because they've already been to one, right? And he says that in jest because, like, man, sometimes prayer meeting can be, whew, you know, it can be like pulling teeth. Why is it like pulling teeth? Because we are called up with who we are, what we have to say, or trying to make sure we have it together, right? And what is prayer? Prayer has nothing to do with any of that. Because prayer removes it, it puts everybody on the same level, and it says we're going to communicate to God, the God of the universe, together. And so we're all coming from a point where we have, should have, hopefully, if we're praying together as the church, we have experienced the grace of God in our life by faith. And so we're all coming to him saved by grace. And man, I think that we can all be on the same level if that's the criteria to approach God. So I would encourage you, as you pray, make it practical. The best guide for prayer is his word. Amen. Hands down, every single time. I have a friend who, he calls it scripture-based praying. And he says, you'll never go wrong, and if you don't know what to say, go to God's word, and you'll find something. Why? Because as you hear him speak to you, you can speak back. And all of a sudden, you're communicating with God. In this passage alone, I read things like, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. And all of a sudden, I have something to go to God and say, God, I am so thankful that you hear me. I praise you that you're a God who hears. And I thank you that right now I'm in the middle of some trouble, but I have seen you deliver me from several troubles in my life. In fact, let's just start recounting them. There was that one time when you, boom. There was that other time when you, God, I am thankful. All of a sudden, I've been praying for 10 minutes, and I don't even know what's been happening. You ever get super scattered when you're praying? I heard a speaker the other day that described it like, I think it was a squirrel on drugs, right? Is what she said. She was talking to some ladies and she was like, I feel like a squirrel who's just got way too much energy and I'm just everywhere and I can't focus, right? Like you pull out your phone five times and you're like, I was praying just 5 minutes ago. You're now, or you get focused on the job. How can you keep your focus when you're praying? By going to God and having him speak to you and you speak back. It's communication. It's not empty. Let's be people of prayer, people who are praising the name of God from his word. That was connection point number one. Connection point number two is this. We talked a lot tonight and made a very big deal about praise being transformative. And we talked a lot about praising God for his response in and surrounding hard times because that was the scene of Psalm 34. I believe that we must also make a connection point because we don't just have Psalm 34. We got the whole thing, right? There's a connection point to be made that praise, and we made it at the very beginning, but we'll remake it at the very end. Praise is not dependent on my circumstances or God's response to them.
Amen.
You go over to Psalm 23, and it's a psalm that we read a lot of times at funerals. But it's actually interesting to read that psalm because it is a psalm of comfort, but it's not specifically a psalm of only deliverance. Here's what I mean by that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Great. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures, but leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means that that's a given, right? It's not like you're going to be walking and then picks you up and removes you from the valley. No, you're walking through it, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then it goes on and it gives the rod and the staff, the two different ways of protection, one being active, one being defensive, that a shepherd would use. My circumstances might or might not change. And when they do, I'm going to praise God like I've never praised him before. And in fact, in the middle of my circumstances, I'm going to pray and seek his face and ask him to remove them and believe in him. Why? Because I serve a God who hears and a God who sees and a God who does respond to his children. But I also believe in him and trust him. And if his timing is different than mine, I'm going to keep praising him in the middle of my circumstances. And all of a sudden, it puts an onus on me to where, man, when I signed up to follow Jesus, I actually did it for life. Right? You ever think that? Like, I think that sometimes where I'm like, you know, like, you believe in Jesus, you go to church and you do all these things, but then you actually get to, like, where the rubber meets the road, right? And you're like, oh, man, I'm actually all the way in on this thing. And I got it, I'm in, like, I'm way too, I believe in him. I've given him my whole life. I'm in. It's forward. But it's forward with him. Amen. Amen? I can always praise him, no matter what I'm going through. Jesus, we love you. I thank you for Psalm 34. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the application of your word together as your saints this evening. Lord, may we never get so used to your character and your word that we forget to praise you incessantly together. Jesus, we could have read your word tonight and praised you and sat here, I'd say, probably for another couple hours. Why? Because you're too good and you're so big and you're so glorious. And God, I just praise you and thank you for who you are. If you're here tonight and you would say, Stephen, as you were talking through that, man, as we looked at God's word, I'm convicted that I've been giving myself a pass on praising God. I've been allowing myself to get distracted from praising God. I've been giving myself an excuse because of my circumstances that, you know, I just got to get through this and then I'll give God praise. But man, right now, my attitude's just been poor towards God. Would you just take a moment and confess it to the God who has provided forgiveness for us through the cross? Say, God, I'm sorry. I confess to you, God, that I have fallen short when it comes to praising you. I have not made it my ambition. Man, I've been obsessed with a lot of other things, but you have not been an obsession to the level that you deserve. Claim forgiveness that he's provided for you on the cross through his blood. Now would you commit? Because remember, praise is transformative. It's not transactional. It leads to a response. Would you commit to the Lord and say, God, through your spirit, I'm going to make praising you a focus, a renewed focus in my heart, soul, and mind tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about next month. I have trouble thinking about tomorrow sometimes. Just commit for tomorrow. and say, God, I ask you that through your spirit that resides in me as one of your children, that you would remind me tomorrow to praise you incessantly. And God, I'm going to leave a note on the fridge tonight or a note on my phone or make an alarm. I'm going to make a point tomorrow to praise you specifically and more than I did today. God, I ask that you would, through your spirit, guide us and grow us, Lord, to be people of praise. Lord, we love you and we thank you for who you are. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tomorrow, make the commitment, follow through. And then tomorrow night, do it again.